Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the Toy Department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it is Toy Department time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. Feeling kind of relaxed today, man. How are you doing?
I'm glad you're relaxed. That must mean things went well with the dog.
Yeah, so it's been a tough couple days around this household because my dog is sick and she's got diarrhea. Yeah, which is... It's not fun for her, but, you know, also creates some issues around my house.
Yeah, sure.
Lots of cleanup issues, and, you know, the back end is not the only end where stuff is flying out of.
Yeah.
So it's...
It's bad.
And apparently it's a thing that's going around our town, per
dogs?
My vet. Yeah, with the dogs. You know, it is what it is, and I think she's to the good. We just took her out and had sort of a clean trip.
Nice,
so
nice.
So we'll see how that goes. But man, it has been there have been some rough cleanups in my house for the last couple of days.
Yeah. So. Well, we today had a sick nanny at my house, which you know, she didn't come to the house, so not really at my house, except that because she did not come to the house and because my wife had already taken yesterday off to take care of our son, today was my day. So we are squeezing this in as I monitor my child on a video monitor, and he is actually sleeping, which is not like, I would say afternoon nap at this point in his life is like a 60% proposition at best. So we're in good shape right now. I think we can get the pod in.
All right, so but you're saying he could wake up at any minute?
Probably not, because he just like proper fell asleep as far as I can see, and that usually means he's out for about an hour plus.
I was hoping you could maybe go with me there. We could add a little bit of like artificial suspense.
I mean, if he does, look, it's certainly possible. And if you want me to turn up the volume a little bit so people can hear if he starts screaming, I'll do that.
All right, yeah, just crank that baby monitor up. It'll be good.
Right, we'll hear a little hiss in the background, so I don't want to do it too loud, but okay. Hopefully we'll hear him if he yells.
All right, so there's still no movies. You know, no bands are touring. I guess people are starting to put out records again, but we're basically stuck in TV land. This week, and there is some decent new TV to talk about. I'll give you the run. I've got the list, but is there anywhere you wanted to start? Any of these things sort of jump out at you this week?
I don't know if anything jumped out at me, but I have things to say.
I feel like you have some things to say. Let's start with a place where I'm pretty sure you're going to have the most, but I know you're going to have some opinions about Moonbase 8.
Okay.
Which was the Showtime show about astronauts presumably on the moon or getting ready for a moon mission, although it didn't really seem like anybody's hit the moon yet. In episode one,
you only watched one.
Was there more than one?
I mean, on my iPad Showtime app, there was.
Oh yes, yeah, I just watched on TV. If I would have watched the second one if I'd known that it was out there.
Okay, well, tell me what you thought.
I definitely the first thing I thought was I'm gonna like this more than you. But I'm sort of interested in your take because. You know, coming into it, obviously, we know about your Fred Armisen general disgust and that you're not a big fan of Tim Heidecker. But I didn't think it was, you know, that sort of Adult Swim absurd kind of humor. It was most of those guys kind of trying to fit their stuff into a more standard sitcom-y kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I would say I thought it had some moments. Was maybe not as funny as I would like it to be on the whole.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of where I would land with it, where, you know, those guys, when they really want to screw around, I think were kind of funny. You know, like riffing on what NASA stood for and stuff like that. Like, yes, I enjoyed
the NASA
that.
Scene. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
The, you know, the Travis Kelce jokes. Yeah. I thought were like that was an inspired bit to put Travis Kelce in there.
Uh-huh.
And then spoiler alert, kill him.
Yep.
But I would not say this was like gut bustingly funny. You got to watch this either. And I'm going to guess you liked it less than that.
No, I think we're in almost exactly the same place. This was maybe the most surprising thing of the week for me, is like I didn't hate it at all. I did not hate Tim Heidecker or Fred Armisen in it at all. In fact, I think Fred Armisen is probably the funniest part. Maybe because, in a way, it feels like everyone is low-key doing a Fred Armisen impression.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, very low-key. But, like, everyone has kind of adopted this aesthetic of, like, oh, yeah, no, I mean, I'm completely normal, even though everything is ridiculous. Right?
Yes, and I would, like, agree with that.
And yeah, that is, I find that, like, smile funny, you know? Like, I'm smiling at, I smile at that. There weren't that many laughs, though. And honestly, it didn't feel like they were, it felt like they got the laughs they aimed for. And I guess if I have criticism of this, it's like, I don't know what it is other than like a mildly sincere but also very silly show about some dudes trying to go to the moon.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, you know.
And I don't think, like, I need to watch more than the two episodes of it that I've watched if that's all it is. But it's not bad. It's just kind of it's very little.
Yeah, when they sort of, like, when they come with the, you know, Travis Kelce stuff, like, straight off the bat, you're thinking, like, it might go to, like, some really crazy places, but it never really does, you know?
No, and then the second episode really doesn't either. Like, there are some jokes about, there was a pretty good fish joke in the first episode.
Right? There was, yes.
About how Tim Heidecker used to be a fish head, but he like, found Jesus. And I don't think you see this in the first episode, but in the second episode, he's like cutting some videos to send to his family, and he has like 12 kids.
That is funny.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed when he's like talking about all the drugs he did, and they're all just marijuana.
Yeah, that was the fish joke, basically. Like, yeah. I got strung out at fish shows on pot and weed and marijuana and, like, dabs.
And edibles.
Edibles and, yeah, and brownies and gummies. And you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, good. It's funny. It's not much. It's subtle. And, like, to what end? I don't know, but I wouldn't tell someone not to watch it.
I would agree with that. But you also wouldn't run out and be like, oh my God, dude, you got to see Moonbase 8. But that's okay, right? I mean, I think given, you know, when we get to the homework, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, like, I probably, like, won't watch more, but you're right. When we get to the homework portion, it may be that I'm looking for content.
Yeah, you may need some space eaters. So,
you know what I did start space eating a little bit this week is The Bachelorette.
Oh, you did!
Well, I just, everyone's talking about the drama, and I have to tell you, like, I got through about an episode and a half, and it's just so bad and, like, sappy and slow-moving that I don't know if I can get through the, like, five or six I have to get through to see the drama.
Can I confess to you that you've seen an episode and a half more than I have?
Yeah, I just, especially after watching Love Island, like, there's just so much more nonsense in The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, like that franchise. You know,
yeah,
there's so much American network TV slowdown BS. Half of it.
Yes. You definitely need to watch. Like, that's the thing is, I'm guessing, are you watching on like Hulu or whatever?
Yeah,
which
Hulu.
I think is, if I'm going to catch up, that's how I'm doing it. And it's, you really need to watch it with a DVR, because when you can fast forward at will, it's a much easier show.
Yeah,
particularly because
annoying.
You get, they do that reality show thing where you get everything is recapped three or four different times, like recapped and previewed. So, like, all the big moments you see a bunch of times through the course
right.
of the show, right? So
yes,
it's like,
and that's very annoying. But also just the, like, all right, we're about to meet the guys. how are you feeling? And I'm like, really? Why? Whoa. And then she says a bunch of dumb nonsense. And then they finally meet the guys. You know, it's like the first episode went on for 40 minutes before they met the goddamn guys.
Yeah. The first episode to me is a tough one. And they haven't figured out. This is true for all Bachelor shows, really, right? Except for the ones where it's kind of returning people. They haven't figured out how to, right? There's all these people in the house because nobody's been eliminated yet. And they haven't figured out a good way to sort of introduce everybody and let you get to know everybody. And you have to put up with those introduction scenes where, like, they just stand in a line and everyone has this, like, producer-fed cheesy gimmick that they have to do. And that is excruciating.
But that was bad. And then there was also this whole thing about one guy had some dirt on another guy that he, like, decided to expose in the season premiere. It's like, what are you doing, dog?
Yeah, that's a little bit weird. The thing is I think people have figured out because, like, the person that wins the first impression rose has a very high percentage often the winner of the show. So really? People are kind of understand there's a fair amount of stake at the first night. I mean, obviously, look, in this season, that, you know, I haven't even seen it. Deal. And we right. It's pretty clear she figures out real early who the guy
or
is.
Should
right?
I say so, a whole different Dale? Hey, okay, let's move on from The Bachelorette.
Yeah, I don't even know how we got into that.
I admitted to watching some of it. That's what happened. And I apologize both for watching it and for admitting to it.
Yeah, well, now that's definitely going in the homework.
Oh, okay. If you want to watch it, all right. I'm up for
it. I was thinking about catching up. There's clearly nothing going on. So
You're right.
Let's do that. All right. Let's move on to Song Exploder, because that's nice and easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Like, but I don't want you to say that dismissively.
Yeah. I didn't mean nice and easy. I guess what I meant by that is this show is easy to love, and we both loved it. I'm gonna guess, right?
I think it's super interesting, man. Like, I think it digs into songs and song craft on a level that really nothing else is doing. And neither of us loved Hamilton, but I found the process of composing this hit musical, and in particular the one Aaron Burr song, to be fascinating. Like, I love getting inside the head of a musician, especially one as successful and talented as you know, Alicia Keys or Lin-Manuel Miranda or Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah, I think that that was one of, like, the thing for me, you know, because they, you know, the first episode is R.E.M. and I love R.E.M. and I know that song, obviously, and I knew a fair amount about the history of the band, and it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm just enjoying this because I'm, like, you know, parsing through one of my favorite teenage bands.
Right.
You know, I'm glad they did R.E.M. because it's, you know, it's long been one of my things, like, the sort of, like, diminishment of R.E.M.'s legacy since R.E.M. went away is one of these, like, is one of those weird, bewildering things to me about music.
Another bewildering thing about R.E.M. specifically is, like, that they hang out still.
Yeah.
Like,
how well, that many... was, like, you know, it's wild to me, like, that there's Bill Berry, like, doing this and playing drums and, like,
right?
You know, yeah, like.
I mean, how many gigantic rock acts are still on good terms and haven't done the Money Grab tour? It's weird.
Yeah, it is very weird. You know, but I think, and it's interesting because I think that, you know, particularly because Michael Stipe was really, like, kind of a mentor to a lot of 90s bands, that, you know, some of those bands, I think, are the, you know, that's part of their legacy, you know, that, like Pearl Jam is essentially all still together. And Radiohead is literally just the same five guys, you know, and those were bands that were both kind of Stipe adjacent at the time, you know, got some counsel from him. And I think that's, like, not totally an accident, you know?
Huh.
Okay. And I think that's also sort of illustrative, right? It's like, you know, those are some of the biggest bands sort of the last 30 years. Right. And when they started out, like, REM was like the big brother to them, and you know what I mean.
But Song Exploder,
and somehow they faded away. It's weird.
Yeah, it's odd. But Song Exploder going into this was both a welcome reminder of REM's greatness, and also like really a reminder of a thing that I've forgotten, but I hadn't thought about in a long time, which is really what a odd and interesting departure from their previous work this song and album were.
Yeah, to me it's you know, the success of that song, I think a lot is illustrative of what MTV meant to that era. You know, like, I don't know, like, it's a great song, but I don't know that it would be a huge pop song without that video, right?
I know, I agree, and I saw that video 1,000 times.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. And it was kind of cool to see some of the clips of them at the awards, and you realize, like, how big that was, and like, oh, yeah, Tarsim. Like, I know who Tarsim is, you know? Right. Tarsim's the guy that directed the video, if you haven't
seen it. Yeah.
Song Exploder app. The, you know, for me, the Ty Dolla $ign episode, I thought was also really revelatory in terms of what the show is. Yeah. Because to watch that next and to have, I know the name and, sure. I knew some of the songs, but like, I'd never heard that City of Angels song at all. Not once.
Oh, yeah. It's a great song. Yeah.
So, like, to watch that and kind of see the construction of it and the way that he kind of thought of it like a band, and just sort of hear him philosophize on it, like, that was really revelatory for me. It's a cool show.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what is cool about the show, is seeing the different processes by which different people create songs, right? So, going back, REM really was a band that... the guitarist comes in with a riff, the drummer and bass player make something up, and then Michael Stipe listens to him play it for a while and writes down some lyrics, right? Then you see Ty Dolla $ign is kind of, in this scenario at least, sort of a maestro, almost like a weird comparison, but like a Michael Jackson, sort of designing a pop song and structuring it out and bringing in people to play different parts and tinkering until he feels like it's perfect. And then Alicia Keys is like a classic collaboration with two other artists where they get in a room and just sort of play things for each other and jam back and forth and riff until something comes out of it, right? Everyone has these different processes by which they write a song. And then Lin-Manuel Miranda records a voice note walking to a party in Queens and... Or wherever the hell he is, Manhattan, and then like sends it to his composer, and they go back and forth, and they each add different layers to it. Like, it's so interesting to see the way musicians' minds work.
Yes, yeah, and this show I think brings that out really well. I don't know. It's hard to think of a criticism of it, honestly.
Yeah, I have nothing bad to say. And Hrishikesh Hirway's like beautiful NPR voice is just as effective in a television format.
Yes, and he's also very good at hanging out with musicians, which is not that easy to do.
Agreed. That's the key to the whole show. I mean, it really is, and it's not just hanging out with them, but like, creating enough comfort in them that he can ask what are pretty intimate questions about their process and whatnot. And they're forthcoming. I mean, there's that one point where Ty Dolla $ign is like, wait, where'd you get that? It's like somebody at the label's about to lose their job. But, you know, he's kidding, and ultimately he tells the whole story with great detail and great thoughtfulness, and that's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And this this show's really cool, and it's an easy watch. It's an easy recommend for me. All right, let's visit The Undoing. So I'm now caught up. We talked about the show after the first episode, and we're kind of like, I don't know if I totally know what this is.
Right.
I have a much better idea now, for sure.
Yeah.
Although it's not like I can say necessarily where it's going, which I think is good.
Right. But that's good, right? I mean.
Yeah.
give me your full report on The Undoing, because I'm interested to hear where you were way less in on it than I was at first.
Yeah, like I would say where I'm at now is like interested in it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to keep watching this show every week when it comes on. I don't know if it has completely charmed me yet. And I think some of it is, I want to find the right way to say this, because I'm not here for Nicole Kidman slander per se. But I'm a little, like, I feel like I have seen her do this uptight, wealthy housewife who has things unraveling role, like maybe a couple too many times. And she's always good at it.
I think this is a little different, though, because I don't think she's actually that uptight. I think she's utterly bamboozled by what is happening. And I think that there's like a subtle difference. I don't know. I still find her mesmerizing. Maybe not quite as mesmerizing as the young French lady who dies in episode one, but mesmerizing nonetheless.
There's something, I don't know. Like this cold, like she's just always playing this, like these like cold, distant women.
Do you think she's cold and distant though? I think she's just,
yes.
I think she's like, just gobsmacked.
I find her frosty half the time. And, you know, maybe this character, I would say, is a little less frosty. And I said housewife. She definitely has quite a career.
Yeah.
And that's right. I didn't mean to. But it's not – I don't find this character all that different from the Big Little Lies character. You know what I mean?
Oh, see, I think it's pretty different. I think it's pretty different. I think – well, in some ways, they're ending up in a similar place, but I think what's different is that this woman starts in a very different place and is, like, things are unraveling or undoing, as it were, in a very, in a way that is utterly shocking to her.
Whereas
the other woman was, you know, in an abusive relationship that continued its cycle of abuse, more or less. But anyway.
Yeah, and look, the circumstances of the characters are different. I just feel like the way she plays it is fairly similar, you know.
Yeah,
and I feel it's a thing I've seen her do a lot, you know.
I understand that. I understand the point. It just hasn't bothered me. And I think here's the thing that I think when I hear you describe the way you feel about it, like other than your, you know, one criticism of the Kidman situation, I think that's more or less what the show's going for, is like interested and not quite sure where it's headed, which I think, you know, that's fine. Like three episodes in, I think that's a perfectly good place to be.
Yeah, for sure. I think so too. I sort of wish the police detectives were a little more interesting.
Yeah.
That's sort of a random aside. I find those scenes a little less compelling whenever she's dealing with the cops. They're mostly like they all serve plot purpose, so it's like I don't mind them per se, but they don't have this sort of the same pop that some of the other scenes do. Particularly some of the family scenes. The kids are really great, I think, actually.
The kids great. The lead cop in particular. I mean, the other cop isn't much of a character, but the lead cop in particular, just if he was a little more interesting or engaging, I agree that would help.
Yeah. But yeah, like I'm here for it. I think that's
all right.
is what I'd say. I'm here for it. For sure.
Yeah, it's funny. After like several years of the bar being raised and raised and raised and raised for like what we have time to watch as a society, it's fallen considerably since there's very little going on right now.
I would agree. Yeah. And I would say, you know, as the Sunday night HBO. This is a Sunday night show, right? It's not a Monday show. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
It's pretty. I would say this is on the lower end of Sunday night HBO entertainment, right?
Maybe, like, but I guess as long as by lower end of HBO Sunday Night Entertainment, you're not saying it like doesn't belong in that class, because I think it does.
Correct. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But I'm also not saying it's one of those, you know.
No, I mean, it's not the Sopranos when you think of or HBO, The Wire or Game of Thrones, yeah, or any of that great stuff. But it's intriguing. I mean, how much more of like Call Me By Your Other Name or whatever that show was called?
I did not. You know what? That one is piled up on my DVR.
Exactly. That's my point. This one.
Although it went, by the way, it did go somewhere completely different. I don't know how much of it.
Oh, really? No, I haven't watched a single minute since we talked about it.
Okay. Well, you and I'll talk about that after the show.
All right.
The other show we've got in this mix, I'm also kind of curious about where you landed on, and that's Industry.
I'm curious about where I landed on Industry.
I kind of am too, and I have to say that, like, there was a little bit of this that was like, I found myself going, like, I'm not, like, there are a couple scenes I had to watch again. I wasn't entirely sure what was happening sometimes, or even for a while what the company did. I figured that out eventually. It's investment banking. It was weird. It was like there was less exposition than I think you normally get in a pilot sometimes. Did you stick around for the credits? Did you see who directed this episode?
Yes. Leonard.
Yeah, and I was kind of shocked by that. It was very. It did not strike me as Lena Dunham-y at all.
What was the first thing you thought of when you realized it was Lena Dunham, though?
It was the sex scene in the bathroom.
Actually, for me, it was the internet sex scene with the two people masturbating.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was pretty Lena Dunham-y, actually.
It was. Look, the whole. In a lot of ways, thinking about it, it was Lena Dunham-y, except that you don't expect her, like, palette to be the financial sector, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of ways, that – I have no idea if she's involved in this past episode one, but the fact that she was the choice to direct episode one clearly sets a specific tone for the way the show will unfold, and it actually makes me more interested than I might otherwise be.
I would agree with that. I also fully support her taking on some just genre work. You know what I mean? I think that could be interesting.
She's an interesting
particularly
person.
in like a non-flashy way where it's like, oh, I didn't know Lena Dunham directed it. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know. You know, I found the one American character of the show to be really compelling.
Yes.
And I found another character of the show who didn't make it to episode two to be really compelling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I liked anyone else. And I don't entirely know who we're supposed to be rooting for in all
you
this.
You know who I like is the other American character.
The Ken Leong.
Yeah,
is
Ken
that
Leong.
His name?
I love him. I always love him.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah.
But I don't know that we're supposed to care about the other people. I am interested in what's going on with the lead character and her fake degree and... you know, why she wanted so badly to go to this place if she's not actually qualified for it, and why she got the job in the first place. There's so many questions here. So I'm not out, but it is like a, all right, I don't know what exactly we're doing here situation. So
yeah, I think that's, you nailed exactly kind of what I was talking about, is it's like we don't quite understand like why she's here and she thinks she's good. They sort of like yada yada that for half a second. And it seems like maybe it comes up later, but it was, you know, for things that we often talk about, oh, this episode was really pilot-y. Like they made some very not pilot-y choices for this pilot, you know?
Yes. Yes. They left a lot unexplained,
you know? And it does seem like, you know, from the, on future episodes trailer, that a lot of those things do become issues over the course of this show. So,
I never watched.
So
this,
yeah,
but I'll take your word for it.
You never watched those? I can't resist a.
I very rarely watch those. I mean, sometimes like I don't get to the remote in time, but I generally am done when the show ends. I don't want to know. I like either I'm going to watch or I'm not.
sometimes it helps me know.
Yeah, I don't like to know what's going to happen in something before I see it, even in little ways.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say generally they're only giving you stuff in little ways, but I like the music in the show as well too, and I honestly think I think it's going to help me stick around. But yeah, it's a lot of it's a little weird, I thought. You know what I mean? Or just a little bit different. And
I mean, there's a little bit, it makes me think a little bit of the Michael Cole show. I May Destroy You. Or I Will Destroy You. What's it called?
I May Destroy You, I believe it is. Yeah.
In that, like, it's not a very piloty pilot, and it like hints at some problems yet to come, but we don't necessarily know much about anybody.
Correct. Does not seem nearly as good as that, though.
No. Not at this juncture. Agreed.
But, you know, high bar. High bar, I think.
That's
fair
bar,
to say.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that covers a week in television, doesn't it?
I mean, I think it does at this stage. Like, I don't know if our podcast is just going to shrink with the shrinking TV calendar or what. I mean, here's one interesting thing is, like, there are a lot of movies slated to come out over the holidays. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to the theater, but I don't know if that means will Wonder Woman 84 be available to stream, you know? I don't know.
I thought that got pushed back already. Did it not get pushed back?
I thought it had been pushed back to this Christmas, no?
Oh, maybe that's what it is. I thought it had been pushed back into 2021 or whatever. So,
I could be wrong about that. Supposed to be August of this year, I think.
I know, like you, I'm not going to a theater anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I'm also not. We've already watched a couple on demand in the house, and I'm not against that if movies are coming out. So. But television in this place where it's like it's kind of the network's turn to take the stage, and there's just not, like, you know, every once in a while we do a network TV check-in, but like this does not seem like for that. You know, there's almost no new shows.
No, really nothing worth getting into. Yeah, it says Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out on Christmas, but, you know, who knows, I suppose.
But we'll see. Yeah.
It's just weird. There's that. There's the Dune movie. You know, there's like the big blockbusters. There are big blockbusters that are supposed to come out in theaters. It doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like we are starting to hit the production lull.
We certainly
I haven't seen
ways.
A lot of like, hey, coming later, this thing or that thing. There's a few things. I saw a trailer for the final season of Shameless and a couple other things the other day, but not much on the horizon. So I hope HBO has some ideas because they got a whole streaming service in stock. We'll see.
Seriously. I mean, again, I don't know. Maybe a lot of these movies will come out in streaming form. Maybe there are shows we don't know about that are coming. I mean, it's not like I was aware of, industry before last week. So who knows? We'll see.
Right. And Netflix, so, you know, claims that they have plenty in their hopper.
Yeah.
Hopefully will be more. But they need to get to it because the next couple weeks are grim.
Seriously.
So, all right. So apparently we're going to watch some for next week. I'm just de facto putting that in the homework.
The Bachelor, The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Crown is coming back. And so we'll watch a little bit of season 4. Kolsky, you are new to The Crown. As
totally
I
new
it, right?
to The Crown.
Yeah,
I believe
we haven't talked about it in the
most
show.
Most of it though.
Yeah. But it's pretty anthology.
I think you'd be fine
jumping in season 4. Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's all people you know who they are, right? So that definitely helps with the entry a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust my knowledge of history that well, but sure.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to figure it out. I wouldn't say that I had an overwhelming familiarity with the England's royal family coming into the show, and I managed to pick it up pretty quick. So
yeah,
and obviously we're closer to modern time now than
that's true.
The show. Yeah, so it helps a lot. All right, so we got the crown, and then we're gonna do check-ins on a few shows that we're watching. Queen's Gambit, which I think we'd finished. Good Lord Bird, and this season of Fargo. I'm actually pretty excited to talk to you about that.
Yeah, me too.
A top of my DVR selection for these last couple weeks. So
yeah, well, I have to wait for the wife, so I'm a couple behind, but I am loving that show. I mean, just loving it, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, so and we're definitely kind of into the meat of it, so I'll be excited about that. And that's go take. Is your baby still asleep?
He is still asleep. He has barely moved since we started talking. This is a perfect situation, and we got it done. We did it, man. I'm proud of us.
Yeah, the short show finally achieved.
Yeah, because you didn't jinx it. Good job by you. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling, and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.